Doc was sitting across the table from Eleander, a look of concern on his face.
I am sorry I roused you out of bed.
That's all right. I turned in too early anyway. If I'd slept any longer, I would have spent the middle of the night pacing the floor.
Well, then, I am glad you decided to grace us with your company.
Us?
She looked around the dining hall.
I haven't said two words to anyone but you since I got here.
I have to admit I have been monopolizing your time, Eleander. But understand that in travels with my companions, it is not often that I come across a woman with as much grace, charm, good looks, and, well, class as you possess.
Oh, you're too kind.
No, I'm not being kind at all. I believe you to be truly wonderful, and I have but only begun to scratch the surface in regards to your charms.
Eleander just smiled. She seemed tired and run down, but Doc was unable to see it.
Tell me, what do you do here?
I'm a scientist.
By the three Kennedys, of course you are.
I don't understand.
Not only are you beautiful, graceful, and charming, but you are also a white coat. A woman of science who has tasted fruit from the tree of knowledge. Where did you study?
Eleander looked at Doc strangely.
Why, here, of course.
There is a university, a school, in this ville?
No. The Baron taught me how to make the drugs himself. His father taught him, and his grandfather taught his father all the way up the line. The knowledge of drug making is like a family secret in the Demand family. The Baron has taught people here to make insulin and penicillin. I can make those and other kinds of drugs.
Doc's eyes were wide with enchantment.
To help other people.
Yes, although I don't always think of it in those terms.
Tell me, do you like to read?
When I can.
The classics?
I've read some Sherlock Holmes, some Wells and Verne.
Have you read The Time Machine?
There's a copy here in the Baron's library, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, you must read it. It will tell you a little bit more about who I am and where I came from.
Eleander wasn't quite sure what Doc meant by this comment, but she politely nodded and smiled anyway.
Then I will read it the first chance I get.
Doc smiled back and put his hand on top of hers and held it for a long, long time. A short time later, Ryan, JB, and the Baron returned from the armory.
You must be tired after your adventurous day, which is just another way of me saying it's time that you return to your rooms for the night. I want all of you well rested for the challenge tomorrow.
Doc sullenly rose from his chair.
I guess this is goodbye.
Perhaps.
Eleander got to her feet and staggered slightly when she was upright.
Are you all right?
Just tired.
She steadied herself by grabbing Doc's shoulder.
Go now, and tomorrow I'll cheer you on, my knight in shining armor.
I assure you, I am no knight.
But you are, truly. Or was it someone else who came to the aid of a young damsel and her matron in distress?
Two damsels, my dear lady.
Doc bowed slightly and kissed the top of her hand.
Two fine damsels.
Are you coming, Doc?
I'll see you tomorrow.
Every minute will seem an hour.
She kissed him on his cheek and then turned away. Doc, a smile painted on his face, joined the friends and headed back to his room. When the Outlanders were gone, Eleander stumbled toward a chair and fell down into it. She was tired, weak, and unsure of where she was.
You did well.
It was SecChief Robards. She could recognize that vile, detestable voice anywhere.
I think that old Outlander has got eyes for you.
She didn't want to answer, but couldn't stop herself from saying a few words in Theo's defense.
He's kind and polite is all. You could learn a lot from a man like that.
The SecChief's hand rose above his shoulders as if he were going to strike Eleander, but the woman didn't flinch.
Go ahead, beat me here and now in front of the Baron and see what he thinks.
Robards' hand returned to the table.
I know you've got plans to overthrow the Baron. I can see it in your eyes, the way you watch him, envy him, want all that he has. I also know that you're skimming Jack from the operation.
That was a guess, but not an outlandish one, since SecChiefs in Demandville were notorious for pocketing a little extra Jack whenever they had the chance. It was one of the reasons why they never remained SecChiefs for long. The accusation seemed to be spot on, as the confident sneer on the SecChief's face suddenly fell away.
But let me tell you, Sec Man Robards, It takes more than an iron hard fist to be a baron. You might take over from him someday, but you won't last long.
Robards just looked at her, wondering how she'd been able to have such insight. Perhaps the combination of drugs, one down, one up, had unlocked a part of her mind, brought thoughts and ideas from deep inside the brain to the forefront. Whatever the reason, it had him worried. He wasn't ready to overthrow Baron Demand just yet, but he couldn't afford to let Eleander talk. It might have been better to let her escape with Moira, because now she'd have to be chilled before she had a chance to make trouble for him with the Baron.
Can I walk you to your room, Mother?
Robards looked behind him and saw it was Moira, the Baron's mistress.
One of my sect men will take her.
You're welcome to send one along if you like, but I want to talk with my mother about the handsome stranger.
Yeah, sure.
The sect chief smiled awkwardly, knowing that crossing the Baron's mistress was a sure way to cause trouble with Deman. Mother and daughter left the dining room, arm in arm. Once they were out of sight, Robard signaled to one of his sect men.
Follow them, and let me know when Eleander's alone.
The sect man nodded, and hurried to catch up to the two women. Mildred sat by Jack's side, watching the albino teenager struggle to get some rest, despite the searing pain in his shoulder. He was also a bit feverish, and there was a good chance that despite her ministrations, the wound had become infected. She didn't want to give him too much medication, since she couldn't be sure of its quality, but it was obvious that she had to do something to help Jack. She lifted a huge stainless steel syringe, something that looked as if it had come from Doc's time, off the tray by Jack's bed, and began filling it with morphine. He could probably use more than the small amount she'd be giving him, but she didn't want him to become addicted to the drug. She gave him a little more than half of what he could handle. She cleaned a spot on his arm, jabbed the needle into his flesh, then slowly depressed the plunger.
Will help?
I'm just giving you something for the pain. It might help with your fever, too.
Jack nodded. In minutes, it was obvious that the medicine was working. Jack lay still, no longer jerking back and forth in fits of pain. His breathing had evened out, too, and it looked as if he were going to fall asleep. Mildred remained by his side.
Go.
What?
Go to JB.
I said I would look after you.
No need watch me sleep.
Mildred considered it. Jack really didn't need anyone to watch over him. He'd be fine sleeping alone for the next few hours, and the friends were safe as guests in the Baron's home. Besides that, Doc would be joining him in the room soon, so Jack wouldn't have to be alone.
Well, I could come back and check on you in a few hours, or Doc could watch over you for a while.
Either way, not matter. You go. Say hello to JB for me.
I'll do that, Jack.
The serving woman unbuttoned her smock. She had served the party food during the reception, and now she was serving Sec Chief Robards as his own personal gaudy slut.
Did you have to invite that bitch to the table?
One of the Outlanders asked for her to join us. The Baron couldn't refuse the man. He saved the Baron's mistress, after all.
Saved her? What was she doing outside the ville?
I don't know. Perhaps I should ask a few of my sect men how it was possible that two women were able to get outside the wall unnoticed.
It's not the fault of any sect men. They're men, after all. If those two slipped out of the ville, it's because that hag fucked a sect man to open the gate.
An interesting theory.
Robards rose up from a chair and moved to the woman's side. While she was in the middle of stroking the brush through her hair, the sect chief grabbed a handful of hair and twisted it around his fingers.
Oh, hey!
A very interesting theory. How often have you done that yourself?
What? I don't understand.
How many times have you fucked a sect man to get what you wanted?
Never! I'm yours!
My what?
Your own personal slut!
Then how do you know this about Eleander?
I've heard rumors, that's all.
He pulled harder on her hair, almost lifting her off the chair.
And if they turn out to be anything more than rumors and I find out you're lying to me, I'll string you up and give you a continuous supply of bangs so you'll be good for nothing except begging in the street. And the Baron's got no use for beggars.
Clumps of her hair were beginning to come loose in his hands, and she was crying now from the pain, tears leaking out from the corners of her eyes. Still, she dared not argue with him. He lowered her back onto her chair and popped two tiny yellow pills into her mouth. She struggled at first, but he forced her to swallow them. In minutes, she was looking at him with a pair of glassy eyes.
Oh, I'm sorry, baby. I just don't like it when other bitches are around. Can I help it if I want you all to myself?
Say what you want about it, but from what Baron Demand tells me, Moira services him like a champion gaudy slut, which is more than I can say about you.
Oh, but I want to, Chief. You want to try now? Come on, babe. Make it with me.
She began crawling across the floor toward him.
Give me all you've got.
That's more like it. All you needed was a slight attitude adjustment.